Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room, for those that will be listening on the phone, on the radio, and later on the recording. Sabbath blessing to each and every one of you on this blessed Sabbath, August 13, 2016. This is lesson 191, chapter 41, entitled The Crisis in Galilee. We will discuss part 2 today. Our opening song is a scripture song from the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you, able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. Now unto him that is able to keep you, able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Jude 24.
Our Father, who art in heaven, thy shall be named, thy kingdom come, hallowed be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, of us a free gift at the church. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, but thine is the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Our opening scripture to our study today is taken from the book of John, chapter 1, verse 29 from the King James Version, and it reads, The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This Sabbath, boys and girls, we will continue with part 2 of our lesson entitled, The Crisis in Galilee, in our study book, Desire of Ages. If anyone of the dear family would like to take the following verses, Babula.
John 6:28, blessed Sabbath blessing, everyone. They say they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God?
Yes.
John 6:29. Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he has sent. Amen. John 6:30. They say therefore unto him, That sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee. What dost thou work? And John 6:31, Our Father did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat.
John 6:32, Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. John 6:33, For the bread of God is which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. John 6:34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. John 6:35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Amen.
Amen.
John chapter 6, verse 36.
But I say unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not.
Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man liveth. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. Today we will cover pages 385 through 386. If anyone of the precious family would like to take the first paragraph, bubble up.
Desire of Ages, page 385. For the moment, the interest of the hearers were awakened. They exclaimed, "What shall we do, that we might work the works of God?" They had been performing many of burdensome works in order to recommend themselves to God, and they were ready to hear of any new observance by which they could secure greater merits. "What shall we do that we may deserve heaven?" Next slide.
And continuing, "What is the price we are required to pay in order to obtain that life come?" Desire of Ages, page 385, paragraph 1. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he had sent. The price of heaven is Jesus. The way to heaven is through faith in the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John chapter 1, verse 29, and that was Desire of Ages, page 385, paragraph 2. Amen.
Amen. Good job, everyone. Question, boys and girls. What shall we do that we may work the works of God? And why were the hearers asking the question, "What shall we do that we may serve heaven?" If you know the answer to this question, dear ones, Babalah.
"This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." And they were performing many and their
burdensome
work in order to recommend themselves to God, and they were ready to hear of any new observance by which they could secure greater
merit.
Well done, dear Sister Janelle, and welcome, Sister Janelle, Sister Ida, and Brother Vic. Let's learn our first scripture song together, dear ones, from the book of Hebrew, and that is located in chapter 11, verse 6. Amen. Let us continue in our study. We are in Desire of Ages. No, I have a question. Question, boys and girls. What is the price we are required to pay in order to obtain the life to come? And what is the way to heaven, and only through whom, which took away what of the world? If you know the answer to the question, yes.
The price of heaven is Jesus. And the way to heaven is through faith in the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Desire of Ages, page 385. But the people did not choose to receive this statement of divine truth. Jesus had done the very work which prophecy had foretold that the Messiah would do, but they had not witnessed with their selfish hopes, had pictured as his work. Christ had indeed once fed the multitude with barley loaves, but in the days of Moses, Israel had been fed with manna 40 years, and far greater blessings were expected from the Messiah. Their dissatisfied hearts queried why, if Jesus would perform so many wondrous works as they had witnessed, could he not give health, strength, and riches to all his people, free them from their oppressors, and exalt them to power and honor? The fact that he had claimed to be sent of God and yet refused to be Israel's king was a mystery which they could not fathom. His refusal was misinterpreted. Many concluded that he dared not assert his claims because he himself doubted as to the divine character of his mission. Thus they opened their hearts to unbelief, and the seed which Satan had sown bore fruit of its kind in misunderstanding and defection. Desire of Ages, page 385, paragraph 3.
Desire of Ages, page 385. Now, half mockingly, a rabbi questions, "What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to me." Desire of Ages, page 385, paragraph 4.
Amen. Good job, everyone. Question, boys and girls. What statements of divine truth did the people choose not to receive? And why couldn't the people accept Jesus' prophesied works? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, bubble up.
The statements of divine truth are the thing Jesus had done, the very work which prophecy had foretold that the Messiah would do, and because of their selfish hopes pictured, they had no witness. They had not witnessed Jesus' work.
Good job, dear sister. Question, boys and girls, mommies and daddies. What brought the people to open their hearts to unbelief and conclude that Jesus doubted his own divine character and his mission? If you know the answer to the questions, dear one, bubble up.
The answer is the fact that he claimed to be the son of God and yet refused to be Israel's king was a mystery which they could not fathom. His refusal was misinterpreted. Many concluded that he dared not assert his claim because he himself doubted of as to the divine character of his mission.
Desire of Ages 385. The Jews honor Moses as the giver of the manna, ascribing prices to instruments and losing sight of him on who the works had been accomplished. Their father had murmured against Moses, and they had doubted and denied his divine mission. Now is the same spirit the children rejected the one who bore the message of God to him to themselves. Then said Jesus unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven." Next slide, please. Continue the reading. Desire of Ages, page 385. The giver of manna was standing among them. It was Christ himself who had led the Hebrew through the wilderness and had daily fed them with bread from heaven. Amen. That the food was a type of real bread from heaven. The life-giving spirit flowing from the infinite fullness of God is the true manna, Jesus said. For the bread of God is he which come down from heaven and give life unto the world. John 6:33, Desire Ages 385, paragraph 5. Amen.
Desire Ages, page 386. Still thinking that it was temple food to which Jesus referred, some of his hearers exclaim, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus then spoke plainly, I am the bread of life. Desire Ages 386, paragraph 5.
Amen.
Amen. Good job, everyone. Question, boys and girls, mommies and daddies, who did the Jews honor as the giver of the manna in the wilderness and lost sight of whom? And what statement did Jesus say to them, seeing in them the same spirit as though who murmured against Moses, now rejecting the one who bore the message of God to them? If you know the answer to this question, dear one, bubble up.
The answer is they honored Moses as the giver of the manna, ascribing praise to the instrument, and losing sight of God by whom the work has been accomplished. And then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. It was Christ himself which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world.
Amen. So let us learn another scripture song together, dear ones. And this one is taken from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and also 9 through 11.
Moses, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, had said, Man doth not live by bread alone only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah had written, Thy words were found, and I did eat them. and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Deuteronomy chapter 3 verse 8 and Jeremiah 15 verse 16. The rabbis themselves had a saying that the eating of bread in its spiritual significance was the study of the law and the practice of good works. And it was often said that at the Messiah's coming, all Israel would be fed. The teaching of the prophets made plain the deep spiritual lessons in the miracle of the loaves. This lesson Christ was seeking to open to his hearers in the synagogue. Had they understood the scriptures, they would have understood his words when he said, "I am the bread of life." Only the day before, the great multitude, when faint and weary, had been fed by the bread which he had given. As from that bread they had received physical strength and refreshment, so from Christ they might receive spiritual strength unto eternal life. Amen. "He that cometh to me," he said, "will never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." But he added, "Ye also have seen me and believed not." And then Desire of Ages, page 386, paragraph 2.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Question, boys and girls, what was the spiritual significance taught in the study of the laws by the rabbi that the people could know if they understood the scriptures? And what did the teaching of the prophets make plain? If you know the answer to the questions, everyone, voila.
The answer is that the eating of bread in its spiritual significance was the study of the law and the practice of good works. They would have understood his words when he said, "I am the bread of life." And the deep spiritual lesson in the miracle of the loaves. It often said that at the Messiah's coming, all Israel would be fed.
Amen. Let us learn our last scripture song together, dear ones. And this one is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 2 and 3. Praise the Lord. We have come to the ending of our first section of our Children's Sabbath School lesson, and this is the section where we ask all the little ones to come close for a story time, and our dear brother Graves will be the one to narrate it.
Good morning, boys and girls. It's story time, August the 13th of 2016. This is my birthday. I'm 73 today. Pardon it. Every thought obedient to Christ. The Bible scripture says, casting down imagination, that's like daydreams, And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, to exalt is to put above. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Make your mind think more heavenly things, of more heavenly things. 2 Corinthians 10:5. The Lord purifies the heart very much as we air a room. We do not close the doors and windows and throw in some purifying substance like Lysol or a perfume, but we open the doors and throw wide the windows and let heaven's purifying atmosphere, the beautiful smells of nature, flow in. The windows of impulse or desire of feelings must be opened toward heaven, and the dust of selfishness, isn't that a neat saying? The dust of selfishness and earthliness or worldly things must be expelled or cast out. The grace of God must sweep through the chambers of the mind. Boys and girls, did you know your mind has chambers or rooms? In one room you think about playing. In another room you think about working. In another room you think about heavenly things. Our minds have lots of different rooms. Imagination must have heavenly themes of contemplation, or we need to think about heavenly thoughts. And every element or every part of the nature must be purified and vitalized or made alive by the Spirit of God. The thoughts must be bound about, restricted, withdrawn from branching out. In other words, careful what you think about. And contemplating or thinking about the things that will only weaken and defile or make dirty the soul. Thoughts must be pure. The meditations, or things we think about, of the heart must be clean. The noble powers of the mind have been given us by the Lord that we may employ or use them in contemplating, there's that word again, to think about heavenly things. God has made abundant provision or given us lots of ways that the soul may make continual progression or grow in divine life. We give our time and thought to the trivial, that word means not important, and commonplace things of the world. Commonplace means the things that are happening all around us every day. The noble powers of the mind, and neglect the great interests that pertain to eternal life. We forget to pray and study God's word. I jump down two sentences. The noble powers of the mind, like kindness and love, are dwarfed or made small and enfeebled or made weak by lack of exercise on themes that are worthy of our concentration. This means things we should think about. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or value, and if there be any praise, think of these things. Now this verse has been put to music, but I don't recall the music, or I would sing it for you. If you have any volunteers, put your hands up, or your bubble. As we meditate or think upon the perfections of our divine model, that is Jesus, we shall desire to become wholly or completely transformed and renewed in the image of his purity. We are called to come out and be separate from the world that we may be the sons and daughters of the Most High. That's God. And our verse again, casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalteth itself.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. And it's a scripture song that goes with all of those principles. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Philippians 4:8. So next Sabbath, dear ones, we will continue with part 3 of our study entitled The Crisis in Galilee of our lesson book, Desire of Ages. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, would like to close prayer, Baba love.
If we can all kneel and bow our heads and our hearts. Our Father, I thank you for your spirit to have this blessed day. I thank you for your spirit to wake us up this morning. We thank you for your spirit to have another blessed day. Forgive us all for our sins and make of use our Christ experience. Forgive us if we die from our own without you being alone. Let us be able to have such a blessed day. Thank you for being this welcome. Let us be able to keep on being saved by our Father as a blessed day. We pray that we may be able to and keep on doing it. You need to pray that so much can be in the house. Let's be able to always be with you for the things you do in us. Let's be able to be in our selfish and local and loving all the things. We pray that we will be able to bring the gospel and the word to every person who needs to know in the same way. Let's be able to always be able to express ourselves in simple and modest respect and God and sensitivity. We must be able to also will be strong and encouraged that we may not be able to feel afraid or helpless and great because we may be able to let grow us growth and have a name in blessings and also for community and more people to know the things we thank for letting us feel that this blessed spirit can be with us.
Amen. So next week, by God's grace, dear one, we will continue with part 3 of our study, The Crisis in Galilee, in chapter 41. And that will be on August 20, 2016. We would like to extend a thanks to all the precious family that took in participation of reading. And we hope that you will enjoy all the activities that was prepared for the entire family to enjoy. We hope and pray that all of you was blessed, and may you all have a blessed rest of this Sabbath. And thank you, Lord, for the computer not to be able to fall out. Amen. Have a blessed Sabbath, everyone.